This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast Bucks Bulletin Edition for Week 6, Packers at Buccaneers. The Bucks Bulletin is a spinoff of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast and was the brainchild of Brandon Legal Group, longtime supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, as well as all of my podcasts. Brandon Legal Group wants to remind you, you never need to ask what type of law they specialize in. You may need to ask that as it relates to other law firms, but not with Brandon Legal Group. Quite simply, they are a full-service law firm. Call them anytime for a free consult, 844-4BLG4ME, 844-4BLG4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. And remember, they service the greater Tampa Bay area. You need not live, work, nor have your legal issue originate within the city limits of Brandon, Florida, to reach out to Brandon Legal Group, full-service law firm, and I can't thank them enough for their support of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments, including the upcoming and last of 2020, Todd Wright Tour 28 Holiday Spectacular, just announced at Heritage Isles Golf Club. Brandon Legal Group, 844-4BLG4ME. My email for fantasy football purposes is toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. As of week 3 this year, you need the keyword each week to get a return email. I'm only going to return emails of those that take time to actually listen to one of my podcasts each week. If I'm going to take time to respond to the emails, that's the least you can do for me because the podcasts are absolutely free. The week 6 keyword is bootleg. Make sure you use it in the subject line of your email or early in the body of your email, however you wish. It lets me know you are an active listener, and I will give you attention as long as you get your email in before you go to bed Saturday night. I don't have time on Sunday with my own teams, especially after my fire sale this week, after 4 straight losses in my foundation league that I talked about in the previous episode of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. That actually landed Ronald Jones on my team, and he may play as my RB2 this week. We'll get to that. It's toddwrightfantasyfootball@gmail.com. The keyword for week 6, and it changes once we get past all the games that are done each weekend, but through Monday, if you still have a question come Monday, you can use the week 6 keyword. It's bootleg. Bootleg. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Please follow me on social media, Instagram at ToddWright2020, Twitter at ToddWright2020, Facebook, I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. I will never ask you to follow any other page, like or follow any other pages. Please return the favor or we won't be friends anymore. So, Packers, Buccaneers, Packers off a bye week, Bucks off a mini bye week, from the Thursday night game, albeit a loss, disappointing in many people's minds, to the Chicago Bears. Let's just simply go position by position. And no, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on kickers or DST here. So let's go quarterback. Tom Brady still remains sort of a back-end QB1. That took a hit in week 5 against the Bears, but the Bears are one of the rare teams in the NFL that plays defense. It was clear in that game that was the first time really all year the Bucs had faced a legitimate defense and had been hit hard, and they didn't respond very well. The Packers defense does a good job limiting the production of opposing wide receivers, which when you consider they have Aaron Rodgers on that team, is a big reason why the Packers are undefeated. Even when teams are trying to play catch-up down 1, 2, 3 possessions against Green Bay, that pass defense is not giving up much. So that's not great for Tom Brady, but at this point, I don't see enough reason why you would be benching him if you have been playing him as your QB1. Unless you have another option on the bench that clearly has done better in recent weeks. And I don't know anyone that's really broken out that way and just suddenly is surging as a potential replacement for Tom Brady in your lineup. Aaron Rodgers, I don't even need to waste any time with his marvelous touchdown to interception ratio, and he's on a week off. And he's going to get Devontae Adams back, so that will even make him more dangerous. We'll get to Devontae Adams in a moment, but Rodgers is not only a QB1 play, he's one of the top. He's the top QB play that doesn't get you much, if anything, with his legs. And it still makes him basically, he's in the mix as a top four or five play. Now with Dak gone for the year, you can make the case Rodgers might even be a top three play behind, say, a Russell Wilson, who I believe has this week off, a Patrick Mahomes. Most people would probably rather start Rodgers than Kyler Murray, but Murray gets the goal line reps in terms of the rushes and gets in the end zone to balance that out. Josh Allen obviously does a lot on the ground and has had a very good start to the season, minus the Tuesday night loss to the Bills. But yeah, we're just splitting hairs here about Aaron Rodgers. If you own him, congratulations. I own him, drafted him in the eighth round as a backup quarterback, and he's been in my lineup since week two. At running back, no hesitation on Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones continues to be, to me, one of the most underappreciated running backs in the National Football League, and he's in a contract year. And on ProFootballTalk.com, they discussed how the salary cap could be going down as much as $20 million next year, and one of the unsigned Packers that they may have no money for is Aaron Jones. And remember, they used a high draft pick on running back A.J. Dillon out of Boston College. So Aaron Jones has a lot to play for. Aaron Rodgers is a huge fan of Aaron Jones. Disagreements on how to use him is one of the reasons why Mike McCarthy is no longer there. And Jones is a very rock-solid RB1 these days. And if you own him, you can enjoy him very much. Bucks run defense is good, but it's not going to affect Aaron Jones's touch total. I don't see that. And perhaps because of the threat of Aaron Rodgers down the field, it might open up some things for Aaron Jones, because the Bucs, they haven't had to prepare for a quarterback like this all year. They really haven't. I mean, Drew Brees is not, historically, is looked at in Aaron Rodgers' class. They both won one Super Bowl. Brees has been around longer. But as it currently stands, Brees is not the quarterback Aaron Rodgers currently is. No quarterback is that the Bucs have played to this point. Let's move to, so there's the running back part. No other running back worth talking about. I still keep stashing A.J. Dillon in one of my leagues. It's kind of as a handcuff. I believe A.J. Dillon is talented. I believe he's capable. I get that the Packers aren't using him. But if something happens to Jones, I would expect Dillon will go in and could perform well. And he would also get a significant amount of the reps, in my opinion. But I'm stashing him. I don't even view him as a bargain daily play. And I don't think Jamal Williams is much of a bargain daily play either. And he's irrelevant in season-long leagues. On the Bucs side, I actually now own Ronald Jones in one of my leagues. As a result of my fire sale in the Foundation League, I did acquire in one trade both David Johnson of the Texans and Ronald Jones of the Bucks. The last 2 weeks, the touch totals on both are up. They have Johnson's role with the Texans is clearly defined. There doesn't seem to be anybody that will cut into his workload. He is just a couple years removed from being quite good, although we could say that about Le'Veon Bell, and Le'Veon Bell was just cut, albeit signed by the defending Super Bowl champs. Now that Bill O'Brien is out, I believe Deshaun Watson will incorporate through audibles and his influence David Johnson the right way. I still think he's a talented back. And in the same deal, I also acquired Ronald Jones because of the last 2 weeks. The numbers are good, and just watching him against the Chargers and against the Bears, he is playing well. He's playing motivated. He's ripping off some big runs. He looks the part. I'm not sure how much Fournette's injury influences the use of Ronald Jones at this point this week. I wouldn't view Fournette as anything more than a game time decision. It's not like Jones played every snap. Keyshawn Vaughn was out there, but Vaughn was basically out there to be the 11th guy or to maybe chip on a pass block to help Donovan Smith. That's pretty much it. So I believe in Ronald Jones right now, and it's why he's in my starting line. He's possibly in my starting lineup. Now Alexander Mattison on one of my teams is going to play for Dalvin Cook, so I have a decision to make. I can only play two running backs in one of my leagues, and I have Mattison going this week and Ronald Jones and David Johnson. I feel pretty good about all three. So that takes care of the running backs. Again, Fournette, more of a game-time decision. Even if he's active, I don't know that you're playing him in a season-long league. Maybe to save some money in daily. Maybe. Wide receivers. Bucks obviously have had a lot of injuries there. Evans says he's getting better with the ankle injury. He's good for a touchdown a game. There's going to be some touchdown regression at some point, but clearly Brady and Evans have a good thing near the goal line. That alone keeps Evans in your lineup. Also, just that he's Mike Evans. He's productive, and he has Tom Brady throwing to him. So I would expect Evans to be in your lineup as far as Chris Godwin. Conflicting information out there on Godwin. The Bucs are telling you one thing, and behind the scenes, some people who cover the Bucs are saying something else. Godwin might be kind of on a pitch count in this game. That they want him out there, they're going to use him, but how much he plays, considering his injuries, is in question. So I'll leave that to you. If you are a Chris Godwin owner, what you want to do with that. You know the Packers are likely to put up some points, which means Brady is going to be trying to keep up with Aaron Rodgers, but the Packers don't give up a lot of yards through the air to wide receivers. I don't know that Godwin's a strong play this week unless the information changes on him universally by the time we get to kickoff late Sunday afternoon. Scotty Miller threw up a goose egg. I mean a total goose egg against the Bears. I thought that was very telling that in a game where the Bucs were hit hard and played a legitimate defense and Brady was without Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller never even had a sniff. So much for the Brady turning Scotty Miller into Wes Welker or Julian Edelman. Just stop with that. On the Green Bay side, it feels like Devontae Adams is good to go, so he's in your starting lineup after, you know, he sat out the week four game against the Falcons so he could rest for a couple full weeks before week six, since the Packers had that bye week last week, kind of a wasted bye week considering the Packers had no positive COVID tests. And in one of my podcasts, the Todd Wright Toddcast, I've talked about how if the NFL had a do-over, they probably shouldn't have scheduled bye weeks. Let healthy teams play and then use the bye weeks for teams that have COVID issues when you need to use them. And then if they haven't had a bye week by, say, November, then give them a bye week. But the bye weeks, like the Packers sitting out last week, now it gives no room for error if the Packers do have a positive COVID test or two or three or four down the road. They've already had their bye week, and it was early in the season. It was kind of unnecessary. But they used it well in Devontae Adams, and he's good to go. I've given up on Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Every opportunity he seems to get, he comes up short to me. There are going to be games where he puts up some numbers, but I don't think he can do it in a sustainable fashion, in a predictable fashion. The loss of Lazard, who bubbled up as a replacement for Devontae Adams and then suddenly was out with core muscle surgery, creates, and we'll just go right to the tight end position, Tanyan has been terrific for Aaron Rodgers, who prior to the last couple of years had a reputation of not throwing to tight ends. But Tanyan and Rodgers have as good of a thing near the goal line as Brady does with Mike Evans. And a lot of tight ends are touchdown dependent. and Tanyan is one of them, but he's in the conversation now if you must play a tight end in your season-long league, and obviously in daily, where you also must play a tight end, or you can flex a tight end in various formats. On the Buccaneers side, you know, there was that catch and run involving Gronkowski against the Bears that kind of showed you Rob Gronkowski isn't the same Rob Gronkowski. It was kind of painful to watch because he's so slow. He's still getting a significant snap count, especially with O.J. Howard done for the season with the Achilles injury, but Cameron Brait has resurfaced. I don't know what to make of the Buccaneers tight end situation. I think Gronkowski was overvalued, obviously, in drafts. I think he's very limited in what he can do. The prices in daily will reflect lower numbers on Gronkowski and Brait. If you feel good about one of them or you need a bargain player, I guess you could play a Gronk or a Brait. I actually feel a little better about Brait than Gronkowski, and Brait's a lower price because Brait was in mothballs the first few weeks, and then suddenly he bubbles up and he scores a touchdown. I just think Brait's probably in better physical condition to play the game right now than Rob Gronkowski. Neither of them are a Tanyan play. So there's your position by position and some fantasy exclusive analysis on Buccaneers and Packers for week 6 in this edition of the Bucs Bulletin, the brainchild of Brandon Legal Group, full service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Call anytime for a free consult at 844-4BLG4ME, 844-4BLG4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Talk to you next time.